This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. Hayyakumullah. Another beautiful Wednesday evening, walhamdulillah. And another one of our majalis of knowledge, majalis of ilm, majalis of dhikr, majalis of ahadith of the Rasul Muhammad ibn Abdullah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, in our previous majlis, we concluded hadith number 28 from the collection, the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. We learned, we understood, and bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in the week that went past, we implemented, walhamdulillah. What was that hadith? A quick bit of remembrance, insha'Allah. A reminder, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. As has been stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, for verily a reminder benefits the believers. عن أبي نجيح العرباض ابن سارية رضي الله عنه وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة. The Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us a maw'idha. He gave us a warning. He gave us a sermon. He gave us an admonishment. وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبُ وَذَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ. And what did this do to us? This admonition, it made our hearts fearful and it made our eyes tearful. Subhanallah. Look at the effect it had on them. فَقُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّهَا مَوْعِظَةُ مُوَدِّعِ. We said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. It is as if that this is a farewell message. It is as if this is a farewell admonition. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to them, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. I advise you to have the taqwa of Allah and to obey and listen to who? Obey and listen your leaders. وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ. Even if a slave is put in charge of you. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. For whoever lives, meaning lives long after me, then he will see a lot of differences. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. And the way out of all of this, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. Hold on to my sunnah. وَسُنَّتِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. And the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs. الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. The rightly guided, subhanallah. عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. And hold on to it with your molar teeth. Hold on to it firmly. وَإِيَّاكُمْ. And beware, be wary, وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. Of newly invented matters in the deen. فَإِنَّ كُلُّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. For verily, every type of innovation, it is misguidance. Every bid'ah is dhalala. Rawahu Abu Dawood wa Tirmidhi wa qala hadithun hasanun. We discussed this hadith in great detail. Walhamdulillah, we went through the biography of the narrator, Abu Najih Irbad ibn Sariyah. We also discussed the various types of maw'izah that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give to the companions, the effective speech that he would use, how it would affect the heart, as some of the ulama state, that whatever comes from the heart reaches the heart, but whatever comes from the tongue reaches only the ears. We discussed the description of the believers. We also touched upon the definition of taqwa. Listen and obey who? Listen on and obey up to what level? We learned that there is no obedience to the ruler or anyone for that matter. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There's absolutely no obedience to the creation when it is in the disobedience to the creator. We discussed the manifestations of obedience to the ruler. We also touched upon the fact that if a slave is put in charge of you, even if a slave is put in charge of you, you listen and you obey. Obviously, having a slave in charge of one is not the best case scenario. Having the slave in charge as the caliph, this is not the best case scenario. But if such and such occurred, subhanAllah, put away all of your race and all of your caste, etc., etc., and listen and obey him, for that is the lesser of two evils, and that's the better thing for you. Stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs. We discussed who were the Khulafa al-Rashideen, various opinions. Some also include Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and others state that righteous leaders up to the time of Yawm al-Qiyamah, whoever they are, then this hadith would apply upon them. Stick to the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen. Hold on to it with your molars. That times would be difficult, it would not be easy. Hold on to it, for verily it's your salvation. And then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam ends off with a warning with regards to bid'ah, warning with regards to newly invented matters in the deen. As for the dunya, there's no issue, no problem with that. A new fancy car, a new type of phone, no issue with that. But it is part and parcel of the preservation of the deen that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us with regards to innovating in the deen. We had also gone through the biography of the great scholar Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah. And with that, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we move on to our next hadith, brothers and sisters. Hadith number 29, insha'Allah. Hadith 29, and if we have time, hadith number 30, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, Imam al-Nawawi brings hadith number 29. عن معاذ ابن جبل رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله, upon the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. Who is Mu'adh? Mu'adh, the famous companion of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We discussed his biography previously. He will be the leader of the ulama on Yawm al-Qiyamah. قلت يا رسول الله, I said, يا رسول الله, أخبرني بعمل يدخل لي الجنة ويباعدني عن النار. يا رسول الله, tell me about the type of action that will enter me into paradise and will keep me far away from the hellfire. Subhanallah. Look at the question of Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu. فَقَالَ لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرَ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you've asked about something massive, something major, something mighty, something at times which might be difficult, but وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ, it is easy, عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ, for the person that Allah makes it easy for. It's a great matter, but if Allah makes it easy for you, then it will be easy. Now what's the matter? What's the answer, Ya Rasulullah? What will enter me into Jannah and keep me far away from the hellfire? What is it? تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. The matter of Tawheed, subhanAllah. تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, and do not commit any shirk whatsoever, وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَتُؤْتِيَ الزَّكَاةَ, to establish your salah, to pay your zakah, وَتَسُومُ رَمَضَانَ, fast the month of Ramadan, وَتَحُجُّ الْبَيْتِ, and to perform your hajj. What did the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam list as the first level of those matters which will enter you into Jannah, keep you far away from the hellfire? What are they? They are the five pillars of Al-Islam, walhamdulillah. ثم قال, and then he said, ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير? Should I not tell you, O Mu'adh, about the doors of goodness? Look at this. Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam understood the zeal of Mu'adh, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is now asking him, do you also want to know about the doors of goodness? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, As-sawmu junnah, fasting is a shield. Was-sadaqatu tudfi'u al-khati'a kama tudfi'u al-ma'u an-nar. And giving charity, giving sadaqah, it puts out tudfi'u al-khati'a, it wipes away your sins, just like water puts out fire. Was-salatu ar-rajul min jawfi al-layl. And the prayer of an individual in the middle of the night, ثُمَّ تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ حَتَّى بَلَغَ يَعْمَلُونَ. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verses, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَّا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That these people, they wake up in the middle of the night and they stand before their Rabb in their prayer. And what reward will they have from Allah? This is a hidden reward between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what they used to do. ثُمَّ قَالْ. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ. Should I not tell you about the apex? Should I not tell you about the tip of the matter? وَعَمُودِهِ وَذِرْوَةِ سَنَامِهِ. Should I not inform you about the apex? Should I not inform you about the head of the matter, its pillar and its apex? Should I not tell you about what? Tell you about the head of the matter. Number two, its pillar. And number three, its apex. What are they? What are they, subhanAllah? قلت بلى يا رسول الله. I said yes يا رسول الله. قال رأس الأمر الإسلام. That the head is الإسلام. وعموده الصلاة. And its pillars are الصلاة. وذروة سنامه الجهاد. And its apex, it is jihad. ثم قال ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله. Should I not tell you about that which holds all of this together? Should I not inform you of what controls all of this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now asking who? Is now asking Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala an. قلت بلى. He said yes ya Rasulullah, ya Nabi Allah. فأخذ بلسانه. And then he took hold of his tongue, subhanallah. He took hold of his tongue and what did he say? كف عليك هذا. Restrain this. فَقُلْتُ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّا لَمُؤَخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ. يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ. Will we be held accountable for what we say? فَقَالَ ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ. May your mother lose you, O Mu'adh. وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسِ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. That may your mother lose you. Obviously, this does not mean the literal, but this was something that the Arabs phrase, a statement that they would get the attention of the individual and also, to encourage him to do a certain type of act. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is there anything that people, get thrown on their faces, or he said on their noses into the hellfire, except that which their tongues reap? What's the reason that people enter into the hellfire on their faces or on their noses, except due to what they earned with their tongues? Subhanallah. Rawahu Tirmidhi, and he said it is a Hasan Sahih Hadith. Brothers and sisters, we discussed this hadith number 29, inshallah. Number one, the takhrij of this hadith. Hadith has been reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi. There's also various chains. There's a lot of corroborating narrations for this hadith. And this hadith is authentic, walhamdulillah. Number two, general comments related to this hadith. This hadith is very, very important. Why? Based upon the question which was asked. The request that the leader of the ulama on Yawmul Qiyamah, the request that he had, the request that he put forward to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is due to that question that this hadith receives a high level of importance. Number 3, the narrator Mu'adh ibn Jabal, we've discussed his biography previously when we discussed hadith number 18, and thus there's no need to repeat, insha'Allah. Number 4, the explanation of this hadith. He comes, Ya Rasulullah, inform me of an act which will enter me into paradise and which will keep me away from the hellfire. SubhanAllah. Ibn Rajab al-Hamdani, he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked this question many a times. Not by Mu'adh, but by other companions. So this was something which was, a high priority for them. This was something which was a very important matter. And no doubt, it is the most important matter. It is for this reason, your entry into paradise and your safety and salvation from the hellfire. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the revelations. That's why Allah sent down the revealed books. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the anbiya and the rusul. That's why the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, subhanallah. That's why Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, again, he says that many companions asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this question. Why? Because it's the most important of issues. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We find that in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, Mu'adh, he says that I wanted to ask the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about something. And this something, it made me ill, it made me sick, and it burned me inside. Subhanallah. This question was burning Mu'adh up. This question, was eating himself up. Subhanallah. This question, from amongst the most important matters, we find, قَدْ أَمْرَضْتَنِي وَأَسْقَمْتَنِي وَأَحْرَقْتَنِي, that this matter, it was burning inside me. It made me sick. Allah musta'an. It made me ill. What's the question? Ya Rasulullah, what will take us into Jannah and what will keep us far away from the hellfire? Brothers and sisters, ponder over that. Ponder over that question. Ya Rasulullah, the leader of the ulama, the leader of the ulama on Yawmul Qiyamah, he is asking the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the questioner, look at the one being questioned, and look at the question, subhanallah. Look at the sa'il, the mas'ul, and the su'al. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that question. What will enter me into paradise and keep me far away from the hellfire? Why did Mu'adh mention and keep me far away from the hellfire? Shouldn't he have sufficed with what will enter me into paradise? Because obviously if you're in paradise, then you are far away from the hellfire. No, subhanallah, no. Mu'adh knew why he was asking, and he knew what he was asking. Because maybe a person enters the hellfire and he remains there for years on end, and then later on he enters into Jannah. No, Mu'adh does not want that. That's why Mu'adh says, what will enter me into paradise and keep me far away from the hellfire? Don't even want to pass by the hellfire even for a moment, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. This hadith also, it shows us that one's actions are a reason for you to enter into paradise. Why? Because Mu'adh said, Ya Rasulullah, what act, inform me of actions which will enter me into paradise and keep me away from the hellfire. He's asking about actions. He's asking about those actions which will benefit him. And so we state that actions are a reason to keep you away from the hellfire, and actions are a reason to enter you into paradise. Your a'mal, they are from amongst the asbab. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And this here, this Jannah, وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا, it is this paradise which you have been made to inherit because of your deeds. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, due to your deeds, your actions which you did in this world, you've now earned this paradise. And so, due to your actions, you earn paradise. But then how do we understand the other hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says that nobody will enter into Jannah by their deeds? They said, Ya Rasulullah, even you. He said, even me, except if Allah envelopes me with his mercy. So how do we understand that hadith in light of this hadith and in light of the fact that Allah mentions in the Quran that you get Jannah based upon your actions? What we say that your actions alone will not enter you into Jannah. But you also need Allah's grace. You also need Allah's grace and mercy. And also, subhanAllah, remember, and look at it from another angle. It is from Allah's grace and mercy that you actually did those deeds. You actually did those a'mal and those good deeds, subhanAllah. And so, some ulama were of the opinion that, your deeds also assist you in choosing the daraja in paradise. So based upon your deeds, you enter Jannah based upon the mercy of Allah, but you choose your level in Jannah based upon your a'mal, and that's also an opinion of some of the ulama. Nonetheless, it shows us that Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wanted Jannah without any hellfire before it. Without any hellfire before it. That's why he specified Jannah, entry into Jannah, and keep me far away from the hellfire. He goes on. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions to him that you've asked about a great matter, and no doubt it was great. Books revealed, messengers sent. It's a great and a grave matter. Subhanallah. Being successful in this matter is no doubt difficult. It's difficult. But it is easy for those who find the divine grace. Those who Allah makes it easy for them, then they will find it easy. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, but it is easy for whomsoever Allah, the exalted be he, makes it easy. We find in the noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. As for him who gives in charity and keeps his duty to Allah, and he fears Allah and believes in a reward from Allah, then Allah will make smooth for him the path of goodness, will make easy for him the path of goodness. But he who is greedy and a miser and thinks himself self-sufficient, and he belittles the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he belies the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will make easy for him the path of evil. Allah musta'an. So those who have the divine grace, Allah will make their path for them easy. Then the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the five pillars of al-Islam. He mentions ta'budu Allah la tushriku bihi shay'a wa tuqimu as-salata wa tu'ti az-zakata wa tasum ramadan wa tahujj al-bayt. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the five pillars of al-Islam, and we've already discussed this, walhamdulillah. We discussed this in hadith number 2, walhamdulillah. Then the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues and he says, shall I not inform you of the gates of goodness? What are the gates of goodness? Gates of goodness? Subhanallah. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, number 1, is now asking the question. Did you notice that, brothers and sisters? Mu'adh came to him asking the question, and now the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking Mu'adh questions. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets the listener's attention. You know, he indirectly informs Mu'adh that this is something which is very important. I'm asking you about this matter. Why? Because it's very, very important. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is bringing this to the attention of Mu'adh. And what does the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention? He mentions the supererogatory acts of worship. He mentions the voluntary acts of worship. Subhanallah. And why did he even mention all of this? Because he realized that Mu'adh has a lot of zeal. So let me inform Mu'adh about other matters. Subhanallah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-sawmu junnah," that fasting, it is a shield. What does the shield do? A shield protects you. A shield protects you, no doubt, subhanallah. And so this fasting, it is your shield. It protects you from all of these evils around. It protects you and allows you and puts you in that state where you lower your gaze, walhamdulillah, where your desires are lowered. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyam, kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O believers, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you. Why? So that you may attain taqwa. And what does taqwa mean? Taqwa comes from the word wiqaya. Wiqaya, which means protection. And so look at this. Fasting gives you taqwa. And this taqwa means a protection. Just like how this fasting is a shield, subhanAllah. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that in the hadith in Sahih Muslim and Bukhari, As-siyamu junna, wa idha kana yawmu sawmi ahadikum fala yarfuth wala yakhs. وَلَا يَصْخَبْ فَإِنْ سَابَهُ أَحَدْ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي امْرُؤٌ صَائِمٌ. Fasting is a shield. If it is a day in which one of you is fasting, then he should avoid sexual contact and quarreling. If somebody should abuse him or fight him, what should he say? I am a man who is fasting. Subhanallah. We also find, brothers and sisters, that fasting, yes, it is a shield, but if you engage in all of the wrong, if you don't protect this fast, if this fast does not protect you, if you're not lowering your gaze, if you're not staying away from the haram and gossip and ghiba and namima and pornography, etc., if you're not staying away from all of this, then it's not acting as a shield. And if it's not a shield for you in this world, it will not be a shield for you in the hereafter. I repeat, this fasting, if it was not a shield for you in this dunya, then how can it be a shield for you in the hereafter? Subhanallah. And thus, it will not be a shield. Allahu musta'an. As-sawmu junnah, this fasting. And this is the supererogatory fast. For example, fasting on the day of Ashura, fasting on the day of Arafah, fasting the 6 days of Shawwal, fasting on the Monday and the Thursday, fasting 3 days in every month, fasting a lot in the month of Sha'ban. These are supererogatory fasts, walhamdulillah, and there's khair and there's barakah. And fasting is what? Fasting is a junnah. Excellent, walhamdulillah. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَالصَّدَقَةُ تُطْفِئُ الْخَطِيئَ كَمَا تُطْفِئُ الْمَاءُ النَّارِ. And charity wipes away sin, mistakes, evil, just like water puts out fire. Subhanallah. This is the voluntary charity. And what sin does it wipe away? Majority of the ulama state that it wipes away your minor sins. As for your major sins, you need to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and set things right. We find in the Noble Quran, Allah mentions, إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّاهِ وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَيُكَفِّرُ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. If you disclose your charity, this is good. But if you conceal it and you give it to the poor, that is better for you. Allah will wipe away some of your sins, and Allah is well acquainted with what you do. Subhanallah. We also find in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Verily the good deeds, they wipe away the evil deeds. And as we said, majority of the ulama, they wipe away the minor sin. Walhamdulillah. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَصَلَاتُ الرَّجُلْ مِنْ جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ. And the prayer of a person in the middle of the night, in the depths of the night, subhanallah. And the verses of the Noble Quran, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. That the sides of their body, forsake their beds to invoke their Lord in fear and hope. They stand praying to Allah with fear and hope. And they spend in charity of what we have bestowed upon them. No person knows what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. Nobody knows. You did this charity quietly, you gave it quietly. You also stood up in the middle of the night and you prayed in the dark. Nobody knows about this. Allah mentions that nobody knows the reward that He has in store for them, subhanallah. Similar to how their acts of worship were in secret, Allah's keeping their rewards a secret too, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the matter of the night prayer. You know, people say that I want to fast track career with regards to A, B, and C. People say that I'm looking for, to better myself in this and in that. What about as a Muslim? You know, if you want a fast track guide to tazkiyah, to nafs, to purification of the soul, what is the answer? The answer is tahajjud salah. The answer is salatul layl, qiyamul layl, whatever you want to call it, subhanallah. Allah mentions, كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون. And they used to sleep, but little at night. They used to sleep very little at night, spending their time in prayer. And in the hours before dawn, they were found asking for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك عسى أن يبعثك ربك مقاما محمودا. And in some parts of the night, offer the late night prayer with it, and read the Quran with it as an additional prayer for you. It may be that your Lord will raise you to a position of praise. Many of the ulama of the opinion that the Hajjul Qiyamul Layl, Salatul Layl was wajib upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We find in the Noble Quran, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ Al-Albab. Is the one who is obedient to Allah, prostrating himself or standing in prayer during the hours of the night, fearing the hereafter and hoping for the mercy of his Lord, equal to the one who disbelieves? Say no, those are those who know equal to those who don't know? It is only people of understanding who will remember and take a lesson from this. Brothers and sisters, take note. Allah mentions, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We mentioned this many a times. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are those who know equal to those who don't know? No, they are not. Those who know are different from those who do not know. Look at the context of this mention. Allah mentions this in the middle of the verse when Allah talks about the status of the ulama. No. When Allah talks about the virtue of the alim or the mufti, absolutely not. Allah mentions that are those who know equal to those who do not know. Allah mentioned this in the middle of what? In the middle of the mention of those who stand in the middle of the night in prostration. They stand in prayer and they also prostrate. They stand in qiyam and then they are also in prostration in their sujood. Subhanallah. Then Allah says, are those who know equal to those who don't know? This is a sign. This is a sign. This is a sign that the people of knowledge are supposed to be the people of the Hajjud Qiyamul Layl Salatul Layl. I repeat, the fact that Allah mentions, are those who know equal to those who do not know, in the middle of the verse dealing with the night prayer, this indicates that what? It indicates that the people of knowledge are supposed to be people of the Hajjud Qiyamul Layl Salatul Layl. Subhanallah. Allah mentions, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. And the faithful servants of the Most Merciful are those who walk on the earth humbly, and when the foolish ones address them with improper speech, they simply reply with mild words of gentleness. And those who spend, they spend the night in worship of their Lord, they prostrate and they also stand. Subhanallah. From amongst the early verses, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qum al-layla illa qalila, nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila, aw zid alayhi wa rattil al-Qur'ana tartila. O you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wrapped up in garments, stand to pray all night, except a little. Half of it, or a little less than that, or a little more, and recite the Qur'an in a slow style. Verily we send down to you a weighty word. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. This shows us that in the early days, when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam received his revelation, even before Surah Al-Fatiha etc. could come down, Allah ordered the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make what? To make the Hajjud, Salah, Qiyamul Layl, Salatul Layl, whatever you want to call it. It's like an indication that the mission that you have is a very, very difficult mission. This mission ahead is a very difficult mission, and you need this Tahajjud Salah to assist you in that mission. Subhanallah. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afdalu salati ba'da salati al maktuba." Salah fi jawfil layl. The best prayer after the obligatory prayer is the prayer prayed in the middle of the night. As-salatu khayru mawdu', faman istata'a an yastakthir falyastakthir. That salah is the best of matters. Whoever can increase his prayers, then let him increase. Alaykum biqiyamil layl fa innahu da'bu as-salihin. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should perform the late night prayer, for verily it is the custom of the pious people. Look at that. Who said? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. What are we doing? We are talking, we are discussing, we're discussing those words. We are listening. Are we going to make the Hajjud Salah? Are we going to wake up for the Hajjud Salah? Are we going to wake up 15, 20 minutes before Salatul Fajr and pray at least 2 rak'ahs of the Hajjud Salah? If no, then Allahul Musta'an. If no, then Allahu Musta'an, in Allah we seek help. What's the point, brothers and sisters? The ilm, but where's the amal? And this goes first to the speaker, even before those being spoken to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. And may Allah grant us amal, grant us good a'mal. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the matter of the tahajjud salah, the night prayer. In some of the narrations, this jof means the middle, and in some cases middle of the last half of the night, and some ulama said it's after the fifth sixth of the night. After the fifth sixth of the night is over, and then is the best time for this tahajjud salah. As for the importance, we discussed, and the salatul layl, it increases you in ikhlas. It increases you in what? Increases you in sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody knows, you are standing alone, you're praying in the dark, walhamdulillah. And it's also a clear indication of your concern for your goal in life. Your goal in life, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We've not created ins and jinn except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that you stand up in the middle of the night and you pray, when the bed is calling you, when the bed is nice and warm, when the duvet is too heavy, you make sure that you wake up and you stand. This is a clear indication with regards to your concern with regards to Allah, your concern with regards to the hereafter, your concern with regards to the deen, your concern with regards to your own tazkiyah and your own purification, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, should I not inform you about the head of the matter? Yes, the head of the matter is Islam. The pillar, its pillar is Salah. Subhanallah. So there's a second mention of the matter of Salah. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the third matter, and that is what? And that is the matter of the apex. وَذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِهِ الْجِهَادِ. And its apex is jihad. Jihad of the tongue, jihad of the hands, jihad of the pen, jihad of the arms. The religion is protected and preserved via this jihad. And as for the importance of jihad, well, they are too numerous to mention, subhanallah. We find Allah mentions in the noble Quran, لَا يَسْتَوِي الْقَاعِدُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم فضل الله المجاهدين بأموالهم وأنفسهم على القاعدين درجة وكل وعد الله الحسنى وفضل الله المجاهدين على القاعدين أجرا عظيما درجات منه ومغفرة ورحمة وكان الله غفورا رحيما. سورة النساء verse number 95-96. Those of the believers who still sit, other than those who have a disabling hurt, disabling excuse. are not equal with those who strive in the path of Allah with their wealth and their lives. Those who sit behind and don't go out in jihad are not equal to those who did so. Allah has conferred on those who strive with their wealth and lives a rank above the rest of them. And to each Allah has promised good, but He has bestowed on those who strive a great reward above the rest, degrees of rank from Allah and forgiveness and mercy. Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. Subhanallah. أجعلتم سقاية الحاج وعمارة المسجد الحرام كمن آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وجاهد في سبيل الله لا يستوون عند الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. Count you the quenching, you know, you have this person is looking after the Hujjaj and he's quenching their thirst, etc. in Masjid al-Haram, he's making i'tikaf there. Allah mentions, he's not equal to the person who believes in Allah in the final day and he makes jihad fi sabilillah. They are not equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yuhibbu alladhina yuqatiluna fi sabili. Verily Allah loves those who battle for His cause. Safan ka'annahum bunyanun marsus. In ranks as if they were a solid structure. Subhanallah. A man comes to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dullani ala amali ya'dilu al-jihad. Guide me to a deed which will equal jihad. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La ajidu." I don't find anything. قال هل تستطيع إذا خرج المجاهد أيد أن تدخل مسجدك فتقوم ولا تفطر ولا تفطر. That Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him that are you able to enter into the masjid from the time the mujahid leaves until he comes back? And you fataqum, and you should stand and perform salah, and you shouldn't get tired. Watasum wa la tuftir, and you should fast and not break your fast. Qala wa man yastati dhalik. He said, who's able to do that, Ya Rasulullah? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then said, Inna faras al mujahid, inna faras al mujahid. Verily, the horse of the mujahid, subhanallah. The one who makes jihad is rewarded even for the footsteps of his horse while it wanders about for grazing while tied on a long rope. Subhanallah. So the mujahid, his horse, even that horse's walking around is put on the scales of the mujahid in terms of reward. Mu'min yujahid fi sabilillah bi nafsihi wa mali. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, who's from amongst the best of people? And he said, the believer who strives his utmost in Allah's cause with his life and with his property. And so this here indicates to us the importance of jihad fi sabilillah. Obviously there are conditions, there's defensive, there's offensive, and there's a lot more discussion for another time. Alhamdulillah. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to Mu'ad, should I not inform you of what controls all of that? Yes, Ya Rasulullah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, restrain this. Restrain this, restrain what? Restrain the tongue. He says, will we be held accountable for what we say? Ya Mu'ad, what do you think the people are sent into the hellfire on their faces or on their noses except due to what they've earned with their tongues? What they've earned with their tongue, subhanallah. This tongue, brothers and sisters, it's the key to goodness or it could be the key to evil. Many, many types of sin could be engaged in via this tongue. From shirk to kufr to slander to backbiting to ghiba to namima to false testimony. Allahu musta'an, Allahu musta'an. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised Mu'adh that the controller of all of this here is the matter of the tongue. And this alludes to jihad of the self. The previous section of this hadith dealt with jihad of the body, jihad with arms. Well, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about that which controls all matters, this matter of the tongue. And this alludes to what? Restrain it. Alludes to the jihad of the self. Jihadun nafs, subhanallah. We find that, the believer, he acts more and he talks less. The believer acts more and talks less. Whereas the munafiq, he talks a lot and he does very, very little. Talk is cheap, subhanAllah. Talk is very, very cheap, Allahumma musta'an. Other benefits from this hadith that we see that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would ask questions to get the attention of the student. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him in a progressive manner, the pillars of Islam first, then the voluntary matters, and then we continued like that. Other fawaid from this hadith, the zeal of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the eagerness to ask questions. Mu'adh, this was burning him inside. He wanted to know the answer. The keys to paradise, also the keys to all types of goodness, your voluntary acts of worship, be it your charity, be it your tahajjud, your qiyamul layl. The apex, the summit of matters, and that is jihad fi sabilillah. Why? Because it protects everything else. It preserves everything else. And lastly, holding the tongue, restraining the tongue, subhanAllah. You all know that the individual who backbites Yawmul Qiyamah, the punishment in store for him, subhanAllah. And unfortunately, many a times you're in a gathering, you're sitting with a brother or you're sitting with a sister, and unfortunately the only thing they talk about is this one and that one, and this one said and that one did, and this person said and that person did. Allahumma musta'an, mushkila. That's a major, major problem, brothers and sisters. Try your level best to change the topic. Try your level best to leave that majlis, leave that gathering as soon as possible. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, that covers hadith number 29, inshaAllah. We move on in the last few minutes to hadith number 30, inshaAllah. Hadith number 30, reported by Imam Ad-Darqutni and Imam Al-Bayhaqi. An Abi Tha'laba Al-Khushani Jurthum Ibn Nashir radiyallahu anhu an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, that upon the authority of Abu Tha'laba al-Khushani Jurthum ibn Nashir, narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah ta'ala farada fara'id. Verily Allah the Exalted has prescribed the obligatory deeds. فَلَا تُضَيِّعُوهَا, and so do not neglect them. وَحَدَّدَ حُدُودًا فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا, and Allah has set the limits, and so do not go and transgress the limits. وَحَرَّمَ أَشْيَاءَ فَلَا تَنْتَهِكُوهَا, and Allah has forbidden certain matters, do not violate them. وَسَكَتَ عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ رَحْمَةً لَكُمْ غَيْرَ نِسْيَانٍ فَلَا تَبْحَثُوا عَنْهَا, and he has been silent about some things out of mercy upon you, and so, and this was not out of forgetfulness, and so do not seek after them, do not go looking for them. رَوَاهُ الدَّارَقُتْنِي وآخرين. This hadith, the takhrij, reported by Imam Ad-Darqutni and Imam Al-Bayhaqi and others. This hadith, unfortunately, is weak. This hadith has weakness, and other chains of narrations also have issues with them, and there's not a strong corroborating a hadith, and thus this hadith is weak. And that's the opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, Hilali and Ibn Muhammad and others. As for the narrator, then he embraced Islam during the time of Khaybar, and he participated soon after, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. He was present at Bay'atul Ridwan, and he, mashaAllah, did not participate in any of the fitan, any of the issues and the problems when the fitna arose. He stayed away from all of those fitnas. He lived in Sham and he died in Sham. How did he die, subhanAllah? He passed away in sujood. Abu Tha'laba passed away in sujood, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah, may Allah grant us death like that. And he passed away in the year 75 AH. He narrates 40 ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Explanation of this hadith. In Allah ta'ala farada fara'id. Allah has set out the fara'id, the obligatory acts. فَلَا تُضَيِّعُوهَا, and so do not neglect them. Look after your fara'id, look after your fara'id, do not neglect them. وَحَدَّدَ حُدُودًا فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا, Allah set out certain matters, certain limits, and so do not transgress those limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَرَّمَ أَشْيَاءَ فَلَا تَنْتَهِكُوهَا, and certain things Allah has made haram, and thus what should you not do? These matters which Allah has made haram, you should not violate that, subhanAllah. And then, وَسَكَتَ عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ رَحْمَةً لَكُمْ. And the rest of matters, Allah has been silent on those matters. رَحْمَةً لَكُمْ, out of mercy for you people. غَيْرَ نِسْيَان, not out of, forgetfulness. Allah did not forget. Allah was not silent with regards to certain matters due to forgetfulness. Allahu musta'an. فَلَا تَبْحَثُوا عَنْهَا. And so do not dig into all of that. Do not go looking for those matters. Why should you not, subhanAllah, and what should you not be looking for? We find that some of the ulama mention that, you know, asking irrelevant questions, asking questions which will not benefit you whatsoever. Some said that this prohibition only applied during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Others said, no, it's for all times, but it relates to irrelevant issues. Some said this prohibition is to do with the layman, that he shouldn't be asking, you know, these like irrelevant detailed type of questions. Leave this here to the ulama, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We also find in this hadith that فَلَا تُضَيِّعُوهَا, do not neglect these fara'id, do not miss them, do not abandon them, do not delay them. The majority of the ulama do not make a distinction between the word fard and wajib, whereas the Hanafi scholars do make a distinction between fard and wajib. Fard, that which has been established by qat'i proofs, you know, super strong type of proofs, whereas the wajib, this is something which has been that which has been established and made an obligation via texts which have maybe some other sort of interpretation. And so this wajib, the proofs related to them are not explicit. They're not qat'i. They're not definitive in their nature. Whereas the proofs for the fard, they are definitive in their nature, whereas for the wajib, not definitive. And this is the distinction that the Hanafis have between fard and wajib. Whereas majority of the ulama, the Malikis, the Shafi'is, the Hanbalis, they do not make any distinction between the word fard and wajib. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. We find that this hadith is also proof for the Zahiri scholars. They say that there's no qiyas mentioned in this hadith, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that beyond these matters, if Allah is silent on the matter, if there was nothing revealed about the matter, then don't go looking for it. So the Zahiri scholars say, well, everything is clear, and you do not need to use qiyas. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this hadith reported by Imam Daruqutni. Imam Daruqutni, his full name Ali ibn Umar, and he was born in Baghdad, the area called Daruqutn, and he was born in the year 306, and he passed away in the year 385. Walhamdulillah. He was a super great scholar of hadith, and he had over 200 teachers, including Abu Ishaq al-Azdi, Abu al-Hasan al-Baghawi, Abu al-Abbas al-Shaybani, and others. And Imam Daruqutni, he also studied in Basra, in Kufa, in Wasit, in Syria, in Mecca, rahimahullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put nur into his qabr. He has left no doubt his mark in history, and he has his Sunan amongst many other books. He's got Al-Du'afa wal-Matrukin, he's got Al-Ilal al-Warida fil Hadith al-Nabawiyya, and other books of Ahadith. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions that the last one, Al-Ilal al-Warida fil Ahadith al-Nabawiyya, that this is one of the best books. And indeed, it is the best book that we've seen compiled on this topic. And none before him compiled one like it, and no one after him who wanted to has been able to compile anything like it. The words of Ibn Kathir with regards to the books of, or rather the one book, Baf Imam Ad-Daruqutni Rahimahullah. With that, brothers and sisters, we come to the end of tonight's majlis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all khair and barakah. May Allah grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. Hadith number 29 and hadith number 30. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal upon them. There's no point just learning and listening if we do not make amal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. We've learned about the importance of tahajjud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to stand up tomorrow morning, few minutes before the time of Salatul Fajr enters, and pray minimum at least 2 rak'ahs of tahajjud salah. Hayyakumullah. Until we meet again, your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. Hayyakumullah. Hatha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.